Today's date is October 24th, 2024. We're in the fellowship hour, and I'd like to share something here with my brothers and my sisters. And it has to do with Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if, amen, Sister Marissa. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6. Because he has done so much for us. And when we get home, we're going to find out he'd done things that we never even knew. Never even knew that he did those things for us. But after reading Hebrews 11, 1, if we read on to the end of the chapter, which we're not going to do right now, we see that we can have assurance or hope. Some might look at it as hope that we are saved. And God will do as he promised, even though we still stand on a sinful world and we're still struggling with sin. I mean, why else would he write 1 John 1:9, right? He helps us even then. Because he knows it's going to be a little difficult sometimes to give up something. He's not going to give up on us. Why should we give up on him? And so, when we look at this, you know, evidence of things not seen, you know, we understand that we have this assurance and this hope that we are saved. We also have evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us as we notice this hand upon our walk as we get closer to Christ and further from the flesh. Else, why would we even bother trying to stop our sin if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit? You know, if we didn't care, we wouldn't even be here. I'm going to share something here from Steps to Christ, page 105, paragraph 2. I'll put it in the room here. And this is the Lord hit me with the other night like a ton of golden bricks right from the street. Hopefully right in front of my mansion. Because I don't know. You know, it's kind of comical when I think about it. And I get up there, there's a bunch of bricks missing. Oh, as old as the bricks to hit me. You know, I'm just, you know, I think funny sometimes. But no, I'm thinking the pavement will be fine. But she said that God never asks us to believe without giving sufficient evidence upon which to base our faith. Okay, we can end it there. But for some that may need a little more explanation, I'll go on. She says his existence, his character, the truthfulness of his word are all established by testimony that appeals to our reason. And this testimony is abundant. Yet God has never removed the possibility of doubt, because we all have free will. Kind of reminds me of Peter, but we'll get back to that in a minute. Our faith, and this is what hit me, our faith must rest upon evidence, not demonstration. Those who wish to doubt will have opportunity, while those who really desire to know the truth will find plenty of evidence on which to rest their faith. In other words, God never asks us to believe without first making himself known to us in some way. He's God. He could do that. He created each and every one of us. He counts the hairs on our head. You think he hasn't realized that today you might want to have this happen so that later when you go into prayer you have your evidence? It doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. It doesn't matter if you're atheist, Muslim, Buddhist, Catholic. It doesn't matter to him. He created everybody. He always gives us sufficient evidence, as she just said. And thanks to his word being established by testimony as we study it daily, we know, as she also said, that the testimony is abundant. Romans 10:17. We've heard this many times in this church family, I would think. without even having to memorize. Oops, sorry, I hit the mic. Without having to memorize it, we've heard it so many times that it's easy to remember that it says. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what are we hearing? We are hearing His word. Everything from prophecies being fulfilled, doctrines being understood, His will being made known to us as well, His promises that are being kept. It's a lot more. People seem to think that, you know, you have to study the Bible and it's a chore, you have to build your stairway. No. There's all sorts of stuff in the Bible that all of a sudden, whoa, I didn't realize that, or I didn't realize. A lot of things, you're going to hear a lot of clicking, you know, it just clicks in your mind all of a sudden when you read this or that. And the promises He keeps with us is key in removing all doubt. What do I mean? Sister White, again, she said, Steps to Christ, like I just read, our faith must rest upon evidence, not demonstration. And what evidence do we have? Not only do we have a clear understanding of His will via the doctrines as well as the times we live in that are described in His prophecies, and even if we didn't, like if we're brand new as a babe in Christ, we never study the prophecies or the doctrines. Doesn't matter. We know what time it is. And even if we don't know what time it is, we have all gone through something that I'm going to get to in a minute. All of us have seen this happen. But not many of us have realized why it happened. Each and every one of us have had prayers answered in our past. Every one of us. And with those answered prayers, we have sufficient evidence that we know, we have seen firsthand, that His testimony is abundant in how He answered those prayers. Now, yes, reading the Scriptures gives us a lot of testimony, and it's very abundant. But seeing His hand move in our lives, He does it there too. It's not, we don't only learn about God through the Scriptures, although it's important that you do study the Scriptures daily. Otherwise, how are you ever going to have a relationship with Jesus? You want to learn to be like Jesus? Because that's why He came. He showed us an example of how we can do this, so we can walk through the plagues of Revelation without a scar. But you're not going to be able to get there unless you study His Word. But there's other things that He reveals Himself by. Everything from nature or stubbing your toe, whatever. You know, this reminds me of what's said in Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. So hold on, let me get this. Okay. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Well, let me see if I can beat Brother Anthony there. And I did. So Romans 5, verses 1 to 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. You know, if you pass the test, that is, right? You know, go through the trial with a smile kind of thing. And so not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And we know verse 5, it says that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. As everyone knows, I preach off my sleeve. And so, because that's how I learned, and I like to use it as in a method to share, to hopefully educate babes in Christ. And so I need to share how this sufficient evidence was revealed to me some time ago that brought me to experience the hope that maketh not ashamed, so as to declare Him Lord, because He does answer prayer. There are two things. As a matter of fact, I mentioned one earlier that I didn't even realize and I forgot about and I forgot even what it was, what I mentioned earlier. But there was two things that I remember in my past. And as I was reading this, in Sister White's writings in Steps to Christ, and where was that, on page 105 or something like that? Or 105, paragraph 2. When I read that, the very first thing the Lord put in my mind was a toothache that I had decades ago and a burnt finger that I also had. I don't know which one came first, but it was decades ago. Okay. Both were demonstrations of his hand that he knew I would need to see later. I didn't really understand what was going on. All I know is he answered my prayer. And what I mean is, I had this toothache a long time ago. I inherited my dental issues from my dad. And so he had issues with his teeth. And but mine's not as bad. You know, I didn't go all that way. Because I quit a lot of things that he continued on in his life when he got older. Like, you know, the smoking and the drinking and all that. So, but I had this toothache. And that's not to say that I don't believe my dad. I'm hoping he made it home to heaven when we get there. He's still in the grave now, as we all know. But because I did see good fruit in him the last few years of his life. But again, this toothache I had. And it was late at night that it decided to flare up. And anybody that's had a toothache, you know how fun that is. You can't sleep. I had to get up. I had to get up the next morning. And every time I started drifting off to sleep, it started boom, boom, boom. It just, you know, banging on me. And it was just, it was so intense that it would generate a headache, a bone headache. You know, like it just goes up into the skull and it was just, you know, it was like it was above each ear and it was just, oh, it was awful. Because that's just the way they hit me, I guess. And so, and I tried everything. You know, I knew about this method or that method. And one of them worked, you know, before. Like, you know, taking white bread and rolling it up in a small ball and putting it on the tooth and gently biting down. For some reason, one time I tried that and the toothache was gone instantly. Okay. Well, didn't do it today, you know. It just didn't work for some reason. It don't always work. And so I just let go. I says, okay, I was a Christian, you know, baby Christian, but still a believer. And I just let go. I said, Father God, I got to get up. Ain't nobody can heal me here. I can't call a dentist. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to get up. And instantly the pain went. It was gone. And it stayed gone. And then I burned my hand this one day, years later, or years prior. I don't remember the order of these two events. I just remember how he answered this prayer too. Again, I got to get up in the morning. And I burned my hand somehow that one of the fingers was burned really bad on the fingertip. And we all know how sensitive fingertips are. The Lord created us in such a way that you can stick your hand in your pocket. Back in the day when I was a teenager, I remember learning about this from my biology teacher. She says, look at, and she was a Christian, and she said that look at how you can put your hand in your pocket, and you can, she may have demonstrated it for us too in the class, and I tested it on myself, and it works. I had a quarter, a nickel, and a dime in my pocket, and a penny, or something, a bunch. And she says, okay, pull out a quarter. I stick my hand in my pocket. I feel the bigger quarter, and I feel the ridge around the edge of the quarter. And she says, okay, it's got to be a quarter. I pull it out. She goes, okay, get the nickel. But the nickel's just a little bigger and a little thicker than the penny because the penny's also smooth around the edges. The dime piece of cake is too small. I'm not even going to bother with it. So she said, get the nickel. And so I found the nickel and pulled it out. Or maybe, no, I think I tested it on myself. She did it to herself. And so, yeah, you burn a fingertip, it's going to hurt. So I couldn't get to sleep. And again, tried everything. As a matter of fact, I had a cup of water by the edge of the bed, and I kept dipping my finger in it and blowing on it. Because we all know, just by looking at the way they build nuclear generators, that water is one of the best ways to dissipate heat or, you know, cool things down, if you will. Because they use water to, you know, dissipate the heat on the rods, the nuclear fusion rods or whatever. And I kept blowing on it, and then it would be, no more pain for like 30 seconds or maybe 15. And I'd slowly drift off, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 it's back, right? So I have to stick my finger in the water, and since Father God, I just threw up a prayer again. And instantly, the pain was gone. So when I read this, our faith must rest upon evidence and not demonstration. It was, as I was reading it, as I was reading that statement from Sister White, he reminded me of the toothache and the burned finger many years ago. And he knew by reminding me, I would understand that he heard the prayer and responded in a way way back then that he would be glorified, because he knows I preach off my sleeve and testify of him as often as I can. I don't care who I'm talking to. They're going to hear about the Lord. Ask any UPS agent out here, or FedEx for that matter. I had my evidence is what I'm getting at. I had my evidence. And all I needed then was to trust him in whatever I was praying for from this day forward. The fact I know he answered this prayer before in the past about the burnt finger or the toothache or whatever the case may be, it confirms he's going to answer again. All too often I hear Christians saying, yeah, I'm going to pray for a sign from God in regards to some need, or be it personal or even for the church. But Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Brothers and sisters, we have our signs already. We already have them. We have seen his hand move in the past many times as individuals and as a church family. I just got an email the other day from a sister in the faith saying, thank you for the prayers. And it was answered exactly as they needed it to be answered. That happens on a regular basis. That's the reason for our testimony services. We have seen his hand move many times in the past, and so that is all we need to know to be able to pray with faith. If you have confessed all the sins that you know to confess, you are sinless in his eyes, because he winks at our times of ignorance. Twice he says that in Scripture that he winks. And so don't think because you're sinful here or sinful there, and don't think that after you confess you got to do it again. Satan tries to get you to do that to make it look like Christ lied when he said what he said to John, who wrote it down in 1 John 1:9. That if you confess and repent, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you keep repeating the sin over and over again, Satan got you. You're believing Satan over Jesus. Jesus says it's forgotten, forget it. And then just forget it. And walk your day. And if you're going to get a spanking, so what? You still love him, and he still loves you. And if you're not going to get a spanking, great. Either way, it's his, you know. Amen. Oh, thank you, Sister Marissa. Every soul must have a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will and ways of God. There's our evidence. What's this from Brother Duane? Micah 7, 18 and 19 says, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity? That's known sin. That's 1 John 1:9. You knew what you did was sinful, because that's why John said what he said. The Lord told him to put it there, because as Christians, we're growing and growing, and we might have a trip or fall every now and then, because we can't be perfect and then go to Christ. You go to Christ first, and he'll help you, and you might slip up a few times, and that's why he wrote 1 John 1:9. And so again, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He's a father, not a tyrant. Rome teaches him as to be a tyrant. So much so, they invented purgatory, which means before you can go to heaven, you have to float as an ember on a flame in purgatory for millions of years, and the pain is just as real as if it was on your own flesh for millions and millions of years, because you're not worthy to go in the presence of Jesus, and you have to burn all that off before you can go in your presence, in his presence. So guess what happens later on in real life? They think, well, one of two things are going to happen. Number one, they're going to think, oh, I don't want nothing to do with Christianity. I'll go check out what Buddha's doing this week. Or number two, they're going to think that when I go to seek an answer to prayer, he's not going to answer it because I'm just not worthy. Well, seriously, I'm going to have to float around in purgatory for millions of years anyway, so he's not going to answer his prayer now anyway. It's just brainwashing theology. Verse 19, he will turn again He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's where the Christians, they call that the sea of forgetfulness. And that's why, and the Lord revealed this to me years ago when I committed a sin, right? And I go to him and I confess. And then the next day I'm in the midday prayer or something like that, and I start confessing it again. All of a sudden he hits me and he goes, "You calling me a liar?" I mean, I didn't hear those words, but that's the thought that came to mind was, you're calling Christ a liar. He put those sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And so it's kind of like saying, "Oh, Lord, I'm coming to you to confess the sin." He goes, "What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. You didn't commit that sin. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. I don't remember that." He's not going to lie. He put it in the sea of forgetfulness. So you can go to him in faith because you have your evidence already, because you know what he did in the past. And by the way, wait, let me just backtrack. Because I just have to repeat, we've all had our signs. All of us have seen his hand move. That's all we need to pray with faith. We know he's going to answer the prayer because he's answered it before. And just leave it at that. And if it is to his glory, then praise his name. He's going to be glorified. If it's not to his glory, well, then he just might answer no. Does it matter? No. We're going to go and trust him in his decisions. He did hear us before. And what if we pray for now will be to his glory? Then he will be glorified. Our faith can then rest upon evidence we already have that we will be blessed. And by the way, this clear and obvious change in our personal thoughts and actions and walk is again clear. Substance. It is the clear substance given unto us from the Holy Spirit that he is in us. We know he changed us. He knows. Therefore, to us, this also illustrates the evidence of things not seen, because this is something that only can be spiritually discerned. We know what it says about the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:14, that can't see what we see. This is also why billions of Christians never have their prayers answered today or even the last 2,000 years. It's because of doubt. Case in point. Notice what Jesus said to Peter when he was sinking in the water. Matthew 14:31. Jesus said, literally to Peter, as he's sinking in the water, he goes, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Seriously, think about this. Peter had all the evidence he needed to bolster his faith. That's why Jesus said, little faith he had. Peter had all the evidence he needed to bolster his faith, to stay standing on that water. Peter not only had all the clear evidence he needed by simply looking back at all the miracles Christ had already performed by this time, he was looking directly at Jesus as he and Jesus were both standing on water at the same time. And so again, Sister White said in Steps to Christ, our faith must rest upon evidence, not demonstration. And the reason she says faith is not by demonstration is twofold. Number one, we in and of ourselves can do nothing. Jesus clearly said in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." And then number two, all too often, Christians wait for God's hand to move in demonstration that says their prayer is heard, when he already demonstrated that he heard their prayers in the past, like my toothache or my burnt finger. This is why the natural man cannot see what we see. They have no past evidence that they can see. For unless they accept Christ as Lord, they cannot see how he demonstrates himself unto them on his terms, so that later, when we pray with that evidence that he gave us, and we already have it in mind, our blessings will abound. But at the same time, those babes in Christ out there that are on the fence of accepting him, Some of you have told me about some how strange and wonderful things were happening to you recently when you first talked to Jesus, the first time you started to think about Jesus as your Savior. That is how he does this. He is demonstrating his love to you so that you will have the evidence needed later on when you do pray in faith. He's working with you. He's given you the tools by which to do this. You know, because I too recall many years ago as I was trying to clean up my act, certain things were happening all around me that shocked me and made me smile. When I asked him in prayer about what I was seeing, I was literally floored by how he answered me. And I'm not going to repeat all that again, so you all know what I'm talking about when I met him. And so again, let your faith rest upon evidence you already have. Why doubt when he's already made his hand apparent to your heart? I mean, there truly is substance. As Paul said in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Didn't we start that with this? Yeah. You know, substance. And each one of us see it in our own lives. I know how weak I was some years ago in certain areas. And I know in those areas I'm now strong. That alone is proof of the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of his hidden hand upon me each and every day. I too was a babe in Christ once, and in many ways still am a babe in Christ in certain biblical truths, for I also know in heaven a child is 100 years old. Isaiah 65, 19 and 20. I know it's going to take us at least 100 years to figure out how in-depth his scripture is, but Satan keeps on throwing all these distractions, you know, from televisions to candy bars, whatever it is. He's going to figure out a way to distract you so you don't see what you need to be seeing that the Lord is revealing. I mean, quite often, Christians do see the prayer answered deep within them, even though the evidence is invisible in the natural world. No one can see the wind that moves the leaves any more than they can see the Holy Spirit that moves the heart. When I saw how Jesus changed my mind the day I accepted him as Savior, I knew I was witnessing a miracle that is far more powerful than literally raising the dead. Because I know I tried for 18 straight months to change my way of thinking. But Jesus bestowed that change upon me in a split second, the very day I met him, and decided to follow his will for my life with each step that I took. And I'm closing with one simple statement that Jesus moved Sister White to write down in the year 1900, November 7th, 1900, in fact. Signs of the times. God can do more in one moment to convict people than we can do in a lifetime. And hope and pray you were blessed. But what was again shared this Sabbath day?